So I'm Damien. I'm here with Sam Yebri. It is September 1st at 9:10 a.m. And this is a recording for the story on the CD5 election. This is all just in case I'm looking at this years from now going, what? I talked to Sam back then, you know, when we're doing your second re-election campaign. All right. We always like to start off with something easy and a little personal for people. So could you sort of describe your transportation diet, so to speak? How do you get around? And how do you, when you make choices between different modes, what informs those choices?
Great question. So my family's car light. We have one car that my wife and I share. We have four kids. She generally is the one who drives, but we coordinate oftentimes my schedule around her availability too. So sometimes she'll drop me off, and that gives me extra time with her and with the kids sometimes. I'm blessed to live near my office. So I live in the south part of Westwood. My office is in Century City. And pre-COVID, my commute was an 18-minute door-to-door walk from my house to my office, stopping at Clementine for a coffee or a meeting. And that's what I'd like to, hope for more Angelinos to be able to experience, be able to have the opportunity to live and afford to live near where they work or near a transit station, so they can have that daily commute. I do get around by bus on weekends. I take my kids bicycling when we can. Oftentimes you have to drive somewhere to do that. Unfortunately, the reality in Los Angeles. But I'm proud that we're a car light family, and I think that's really the future of Los Angeles, is more and more families being able to get around without a car.
So when I first emailed you about this interview and we were talking, I said that, you know, I always let the person we're interviewing for these stories pick the place. Sometimes people pick something symbolic, and you picked Profeta here in Westwood Village where we are. What went behind the choice to pick this location?
Yeah, so Westwood Village is really close to my heart. I grew up not too far from here, and I really think it shows both the challenges and failures of City Hall and also the opportunities for our great city. So the challenges: 42% commercial vacancy rate, so 2 out of every 5 storefronts are empty. There is no connected bike lane all the way down to the expo line or connecting it elsewhere. That's a big failure. And in general, there's just a malaise in this village. But if you think about what this village can be combined with UCLA and Westwood and these neighboring communities, the subway coming, this could be, again, really a wonderful part of Los Angeles, one of the most vibrant places that is pedestrian friendly and bike friendly. And I have a great plan to turn Westwood Village into that. We're gonna turn Broxton into a pedestrian plaza that's car free. There was a plan in the 1980s that then council member killed. I'm gonna take that off the shelf and implement it. The bid and the neighborhood supports it. And that's something that we'd like to happen. And Westwood is really ground zero for the transformation that's coming to CD5. 80,000 cars drive through Westwood Boulevard through the village to UCLA every day, pre-COVID, but that's what the subway, the purple line that's coming in at Wilshire and Gailey, Wilshire and Westwood, that is supposed to address, right? And I'm really hopeful that people will get out of their cars and take public transportation or the bus or we'll have enough housing near UCLA and near the Purple Line and near the village so folks can actually walk to work or to take public transportation.
So I live in CD11. Mar Vista, I was on the Mar Vista Neighborhood Council. Mar Vista sort of like slivers into CD5 in a way that I honestly never understood. And just last night was the big discussion of the Venice Boulevard Safety and Mobility Project. I have up my tweet about it to make sure I got the name right. Which is, as you know, is talking about bus-only lanes and protected bike lanes. It was surprisingly a project that was aggressively and early backed by Paul Koretz's office, who is not necessarily have the reputation of being the most bike-friendly council member. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about the plan. I know it's not completed yet, there's still an outreach, but anything you'd like to share about what you think about the plan or impressions on how they could improve it or anything along those lines?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking about it because, first of all, Palms does not get its share of resources and attention from the city and from the council office in general. For a population of 40,000 Angelinos, there's one park, Woodbine Park. That's a 1.2-acre park for 40,000 people. And by comparison, Westwood, which has a roughly similar population, has 10 times the same park space and green space, which is not okay. And there's been this really increase in density and gentrification and increase in rents in Palms, and also increase in crime. And I was just at the Motor Avenue, the Palms Farmers Market last Sunday, and this was a topic of conversation. People are learning about it and hearing about it, and the city was doing some outreach there as well. And I know it's not complete, so I'm still doing my own research and talking to people, but the two main reactions are, we really need this investment, we need this infrastructure, we need something, it's not working. And then there's also some concern by some folks who have small businesses nearby about what about the parking, so which I think we can mitigate, is that Venice is this big boulevard, it's an artery that goes from the ocean to down to, you know, pretty darn east, and there are some businesses there that we can address those concerns. So I'm hopeful that we get to a good place, that I'm excited to hopefully support this, but because we do need protected bike lanes, we need buses that aren't going to be stuck in traffic, that can get people from point A to point B really fast, and that's not what's happening right now. And they're not as reliable buses as they should be, right? That they're the primary mode of transportation for a lot of Angelenos, and we have to do better to get folks to work or to home or to their appointments faster.
All right, so we've talked a lot about the west and the southwest portion of the district. CD5 is a very sort of big and weird district as far as the geography. You don't have to comment on me saying it's weird. But so there's lots of different things. And we were talking in the pre-interview, you were talking about the opportunities at Pico near the Grove. When I moved to Los Angeles 15 years ago, we lived for a little while just north of the Grove, just off of Beverly Boulevard. So it's an area I know well. What are some of the things we can do near there? I know the traffic between the studios and the Grove and the farmers market can be kind of nuts.
Yeah, so there's two big opportunities. One is down on Pico, where the Expo line is, where Google's coming. Google's taking over the Old West Side Pavilion. Almost 2,000 folks are going to be working there, and there's a real opportunity to revitalize Pico, bring life and restaurants and help small businesses and bring more housing. That's a place, there's no reason for there to be one-story, two-story old buildings up and down Pico Boulevard. We need 5-6 stories or more. Mixed-use housing, ground floor retail, it should be pedestrian-friendly from West Side Pavilion all the way down to the park, and then further east into Pico Robertson. We can see it. We can really make it pedestrian-friendly area and have people walk and enjoy the neighborhood, and that's what people really are excited about. The Grove and Mid-City area, the big concern is traffic congestion. And I'm excited, for example, by the Television City project, because it's going to save our studios and enhance it, but it will have a traffic impact there too. And what we need to do is make sure the subway stations that are coming in at Wilshire and La Brea, Wilshire and Fairfax, Wilshire and La Cienega are used, right? We have to navigate that first and last mile and make it easier for people to get there, whether it's by bike, by foot, by microtransit. We have to be really creative, because we're making this $10 billion investment in the Purple Line, and the goal of it is to get people out of their cars, reduce vehicle miles traveled and carbon emissions, greenhouse gas emissions. But if people aren't going to take the public transportation, not going to take the subway and the bus, it's a massive waste of dollars. And my hope is be really creative and create incentives for businesses, for new development. And so it's not just building housing next door to a subway station. If people don't take it, that's a misuse of these density bonuses, right? We have to tie it in. And I think we can be really creative. And a council member who's going to be proactive very early on and often in the permitting, planning, design stage of a project can make that happen. And there's real opportunities to create bike lanes that will connect the mid-city area, and increase the slow streets program people love. And that's something that it seems like a no-brainer.
As the slow streets coordinator for my little portion of the area, I am shocked that DOT has not put more energy into that program. It's got motherhood and apple pie approval ratings, and
I have not met one person who says, "Hey, I don't like the fact that you slowed our streets."
As the slow streets coordinator, I can introduce you to some of them, but they're out of your district, so you don't have to worry about
them.
They're Tracy and Aaron's problem.
Fair enough.
And or Aaron's problem. now one of them's going to see this. All right. So the other part, you know, of the 5th District, or I mean, there's many other parts, but the other big area is obviously up in the valley. So the 5th District is a geographically very diverse place. So what are some projects or some things you'd like to see to sort of improve the transportation buffet that's offered up there?
Yeah. So the district now, post redistricting, does not include any specific valley parts.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah. We lost Encino. We lost a sliver of Sherman Oaks. We gained Park La Brea and Miracle Mile and Hancock Park. It's still an important question because it goes all the way up to Mulholland. It includes the hillsides, which there really is, there have been some ideas to expand bike lanes up there. And one thing, we obviously got to protect the green space and the hillsides, and I support protecting the wildlife through various proposed ordinances as well. From a mobility perspective, it's more preserving green space and making people make it easier for people to use and benefit and enjoy it. It's open ideas if there's a way to get bike lanes and bus lanes up to some of those areas too, but it's there's some real mobility challenges in the hillsides of LA.
Going back to the idea of transit-oriented development and some of the changes that we could be doing to in our housing market to improve transit usage. What do you see as the role of affordability in that? I mean, obviously, real estate prices are all over the map. Some people predict the real estate recession is coming. And then what can we do to, I know the city's somewhat handcuffed in as far as what it can require of developers. At the same time, there's, you know, affordability mandates. So how much flexibility and what can the city do to increase affordable housing stock near transit?
Great. So, start with TOC, which has been a real boon. It is creating affordable housing, but there are problems. There is no central registry, there's no enforcement, there's no auditing to make sure low-income Angelenos are actually getting those units. Some are vacant, some are going to friends and family, developers. We have to stop that, and there's some motion happening at the city council to create that central registry, but it's imperative that actually those units get to people who need it. Second, it's not creating workforce housing. So what's getting built is 8 or 10% in a building will be set aside for affordable, 90, 92% will be luxury. And I do believe that more supply helps, and obviously we need that, but we need workforce. So for that teacher, for that nurse, that essential worker who makes more than $40,000 a year, who doesn't fall into the extremely low income ELI category, affordable housing, there's no benefit for them. They don't get the benefit of affordable housing, they can't afford luxury, they're priced out of a neighborhood where they likely grew up, the neighborhood that they work, where they provide a valuable service, and they have to drive an hour each way, which is environmentally irresponsible as well. So my priority will be to create more incentives to build workforce housing. As we modify and update TOC, we need those incentives. There's an old line in business, show me the incentives, I'll show you the outcomes. There are no incentives to build workforce housing. We have to create that. So that'll be a major part of this. Second is acquiring housing. So we can create the incentives to build it. We can convert hotels and motels, adaptively reuse this historic building that we're in right now. If this ever were to be torn down, I hope there'll be, you know, the history will be preserved. Look at these beautiful tiles, right? And this courtyard, bulldozing this for a massive tower. It would be counterproductive. But what I'd like to see is turning those underutilized and vacant properties on those big corridors, on Pico and on Beverly and La Cienega, especially near transit, next to the big job centers. And we have a lot of big job centers in the 5th Council District, from UCLA and Cedars and Fox and Grove and Central City and Beverly Center. Create those incentives so we turn those vacant, underutilized properties into a lot more housing. And then finally, help, what people don't talk about, the other piece of housing is keeping tenants in their homes. It's imperative. If someone gets evicted from a rent-controlled unit, that rent-controlled unit is no longer affordable. It's gone. It's going to cost us $500,000 to build another unit. And with all the money that we have at the state level to help low-income tenants, we got to keep them in their homes. So that's going to be a priority for me, is to make sure mom-pop landlords and low-income tenants stay in their homes. We avoid any evictions. Evictions are lose-loses. So part of the affordable housing puzzle is eviction protection. I support a right to counsel for every low-income tenant. We have that in San Francisco and New York. It's time for it to come in Los Angeles in a robust way. And then it's also part of the if something does get built that tears down currently naturally occurring affordable housing, has to be net increase. So what's happening, for example, right next to Tom Bergen's is a 40 unit rent controlled historic, an older historic building is going to be torn down potentially under Ellis, replaced by 200 units, only 20 will be affordable. So yes, we got a whole bunch of housing there, but where it's a net loss of 20 affordable units. So that's a bad deal for the city. We need to create net wins, and also obviously do everything we can to help those 40 families who are going to be displaced, make sure they have a right to come back and are taken care of in the meanwhile. So there's a lot of aspects of affordable housing, and it's building more, preserving, acquiring, and helping tenants.
All right, great. So we opened with I always say sort of an easy question. I thought for these interviews, I was going to try to close with one too. Could you describe a fun experience you've had either at Ciclo Via or out biking or walking around your neighborhood for people? I think we spend a lot of time when we talk about transportation being like, oh, this is good for the environment, or oh, this is, you know, we need to get people out of their cars, and it's always sort of with this sort of negative slant on it. So I think let's try and tell people some fun stuff.
So this may be an overshare, but one of my big regrets as a candidate has been that I have not had enough time to spend with my kids, and my daughters are have been nagging me to, they want my second daughter especially, to learn how to bike. So right once the primary was over, I had a little bit of breathing room, so she and I had the opportunity to spend some time together, and we went to Rancho Park. We found a nice flat beautiful part of the park and spent 2 hours to get her to learn how to ride a bike, and blessed to have that park and have that opportunity. We need more parks. We're really a park poor city. Only 60% of Angelenos are within a 15-minute walk of a park. And I told you in Palms, there's only one park. In other parts of the district, similar issues in Koreatown, Wilshire Park, there's small green space, park space for them too. So for me, just being able to spend time with her in a park, on a bike, with my phone away was a real blessing. And I know that's really the idea of Ciclo Via too, and these opportunities is get us out of our rat race, out of our cars, into nature, on a bike, doing something healthy with other Angelenos. And I look forward to doing that as a council member and really being a champion for that kind of healthy lifestyle that we all want. And that's what Los Angeles can be. We've been lost a couple generations because of bad housing policy, transportation policy. There should have been a subway 40 years ago on the west side. There's no reason why the city, this part of the city especially, is stuck with one-story buildings up and down major commercial corridors where we could have housing and great businesses and trees and people can walk and bike. And that's what I'm going to implement, because that's the city I want to live in. That's our city I want my four little kids to grow up in.